This is On the Line, Election 2010 on 90.3 WBHM. I'm Andrew Yeager. All this week, we've been covering some of the key races in next week's midterm elections. We've heard about the governor's race, the attorney general's race, the tight contest for Alabama's 2nd congressional district, and this morning we heard about the historic race in Alabama's 7th congressional district. So what do you think about next Tuesday's election? The candidates, the issues. We want to hear from you. The way you can join the conversation is give us a call at 800-444-9246, or you can send an email to news@wbhm.org. You can also send us a tweet. Just use the hashtag ALVote. Again, that's the hashtag ALVote. Well, to help us guide us through the discussion this afternoon is WBHM's Bradley George. Bradley, good to have you with us.
Glad to be here, Andrew.
Well, we want to start this discussion with the race for governor. Republican Robert Bentley is a Tuscaloosa doctor who served in the Alabama legislature for 8 years. He says his top priority for governor would be jobs. He's also campaigned on cracking down on illegal immigration and fighting against Alabama's participation in the federal health care law that was passed earlier this year.
Bentley's Democratic opponent is Ron Sparks. He's finishing up his second term as Alabama's agriculture commissioner. Sparks has tried to draw a sharp contrast with Bentley, particularly on the issue of economic development and job creation. This phrase that he uses again and again is without raising your taxes. And what he's getting to is that he has plans that are based on establishing a lottery, expanding and taxing gambling in Alabama as well. That money would go toward establishing a college scholarship program and support Medicaid and shore up the state budget.
Now, in the past month, the campaign rhetoric has heated up. You know, first, federal agents indicted 11 people, including 4 state senators, 2 casino owners, and several top lobbyists for an alleged vote-buying scheme. Prosecutors say the casino owners offered campaign contributions in exchange for lawmakers' support of a bill legalizing electronic bingo. That alleged corruption cast a shadow over Ron Sparks, since his campaign is promoting expanded gambling, and he's admitted to taking contributions from gambling interests. Bentley, though, has rarely tied Sparks to that corruption scandal, but Sparks has slammed his opponent.
Sparks has accused Bentley of accepting money from gambling interests. Bentley denies this. Sparks has also gone after Bentley for not reporting support from the Alabama Education Association back in the primary. The AEA paid for robocalls on Bentley's behalf. Bentley says he didn't know AEA was the source of the contribution, and the campaign has filed an amended financial report. Most recently, a former Birmingham City Councilman has filed a lawsuit to remove Bentley from the ballot. He says Bentley received corporate contributions that exceeded the legal limit. Bentley says the campaign returned those contributions.
So what do you make of the race? You know, what do you think of Ron Sparks' claims that Robert Bentley has been dishonest? What do you think of Sparks' gambling plan in light of the alleged corruption and around the gambling bill in the State House? Now, give us a call. Again, the numbers are 1-800-444-9246 to join the conversation. That's 800-444-9246. Or you can send an email to news@wbhm.org. If you have your smartphone nearby, you can send us a tweet as well with the hashtag ALVote. You know, who are you choosing to vote for in the gubernatorial election? You know, why are you making your decision that way? You know, what do you think about the race, how it's gone back and forth? And what do you make of Ron Sparks' plan for expanded gambling in light of indictments that happened among some members of the Alabama Senate? This race has gone, has mostly been a winning race for Robert Bentley, the Republican candidate. But Bradley, we have seen that race tighten somewhat in the last few weeks.
Yeah, we've seen polling that puts Robert Bentley below the 50% mark. I think the last poll I saw had Robert Bentley at around 48%. Ron Sparks somewhere, I think, 35, 36% still for him. So, you know, if you think back to the primary, I mean, we thought that we were going to have a race between Archer Davis and Bradley Byrne. Both had big leads in the polls leading up to the primary. Then primary night comes along, and lo and behold, that brought a whole slew of surprises with it.
That has brought a number of surprises. And one of the things that seems to be the case during this election cycle, particularly around the race of governor, is there's not a lot of excitement for the governor's race. Part of that maybe because neither side got the candidate they were expecting to get. The Republicans, the presumptive nominee was Bradley Byrne, and Archer Davis was expected to win for the Democrats. And that didn't work out for either of them. So both parties are running with candidates who they didn't expect to be running with, well, just 6 months ago, 8 months ago. What do you think about what's going on in the gubernatorial race? Who are you choosing to vote for? Why are you voting for that particular candidate? What do you make of their plans and the campaign as it's gone along? 1-800-444-9246 is the number to call to join the conversation. 1-800-444-9246 or send an email to news@wbhm.org. If you're on Twitter, you can use the hashtag ALVote. And we'll get your comment that way as well. Bradley, we have had some developments just even today in the gubernatorial race. So as we mentioned a moment ago, that former Birmingham City Councilman Jimmy Blake has filed a suit to try to block Robert Bentley from even being on the ballot.
That's right. And today, according to the Birmingham News, a Jefferson County Circuit Judge could rule on that suit. Lawyers, they're seeking Bentley's removal. Again, the suit was filed by former city councilman Jimmy Blake. They're fighting that suit. They've already made the arguments in front of Jefferson County Circuit Judge Nikki Still. The suit seeks a preliminary injunction to next week's general election, also Bentley's removal from the ballot. Blake alleges that Bentley failed to follow the state's Fair Campaign Practices Act by not disclosing some in-kind contributions from the Alabama Education Association. As we mentioned earlier, the AEA footed the bill for about $21,000 in automated phone calls to voters on Bentley's behalf just days before the July Republican runoff between Robert Bentley and Bradley Byrne. Lawyers for Bentley, as well as Governor Bob Riley, the state attorney general, secretary of state, all told the circuit judge this morning that she has absolutely no jurisdiction to take Bentley off the ballot. Also, lawyers told Still that the Supreme Court rulings require that the general election proceed, and the issue of whether or not Bentley broke the law, well, that can only be dealt with after the election.
And we also received word from the Secretary of State's office that this won't delay the election next
week. She's been inundated with calls, she said, about this topic.
Right, Secretary of State Beth Chapman. And so this means there still will be election for governor next week. 1-800-444-9246 is the number to call, or you can email us at news@wbhm.org. And Bradley, we do have a question that as calls come in, we can come back to this. But a question via Twitter: is there any truth to the charges that Bentley lied on his tax returns or didn't pay all the taxes he was supposed to? We'll take a look at that and see if we can find out.
We will do that with the help of BamaFactCheck.com.
And that is a consortium of newspapers that have joined together to take a look at some of the claims that we've heard in this election cycle around the state of Alabama.
So the claim is, this is responding to a claim from Ron Sparks that Bentley paid little tax on some income in 2009. Bentley says that he didn't make $200,000. That was the claim from the Sparks camp. On taxable income, Bentley said he made about $48,000, including about $15,000 in charitable contributions, so he paid about $4,800 in taxes. According to BamaFactCheck.com, Bentley mixes income with taxable income. According to the website, those can be two different things. In this case, last year, they were. Bentley claimed $340,000 in total income on his 2009 federal tax return, which he later posted on his website. So after deductions, the taxable income was about $48,000. And then of that, Bentley paid the $4,800 in federal taxes, also about $10,200 in state taxes.
So there's a little bit of a numbers game there with those tax returns from Robert Bentley. So, again, you can join the conversation, 1-800-444-9246, or go online to, or send us an email to news@wbhm.org. Like to head to the phones. Curtis is calling from Birmingham. Curtis, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just had a comment to make about the gambling issue and the indictments you mentioned and how that affects the discussion. First off, I think that money and special interest flowing throughout all of our government, we all know, I think, and feel that it influences the political process in a negative way in general. So having said that, I'm not real happy to hear about the indictments and the news. Having said that, I feel that it's a distraction now being used to be, you know, anti-gambling and just sort of a blanket issue. See, gambling is corruption, or gambling is this for Alabama. I think that it's a distraction from discussing the principled issues of, okay, well, people are doing it here, and they're being bussed over to Mississippi to do it, and we want to have our citizens that are already going other places to do it here, and us to have a tax benefit of that. So, I mean, the corruption issue should be dealt with. But let's face it, when I first heard the news, I was like, oh, surprise, someone, you know, taking money for some sort of special interest. That happens every day in Washington and in politics. I wasn't all surprised.
Well, let me ask you this. Does all those events that we had about 3 weeks ago, does that affect how you look at these races, either races for the state house or the governor's race in any way?
Well, frankly, I don't know all the details yet. I just had a baby like 6 weeks ago, so a lot of the details of all the events that have happened, I'm not really filled in entirely. But in the end, before all those things happen, I think that they'll have to look at creating a system that will work for gambling, that has a regulatory format that will guard the taxpayers from any, you know, sort of conflicts of interest, just like any sort of system. And that people can go, and I like to go shoot craps, and I'm a perfectly normal citizen, and they can go and spend that money and have a good time, and some of the tax revenue would be helpful to various things. And, you know, let's face it, we have a certain size of government right now that needs to be supported, or otherwise there's going to be cuts or, you know, significant tax increases. So I think that there's areas that we can improve tax revenue right now. A lot of people would see a lot of benefit, and I think other states can be a testament to that.
Well, Curtis, we appreciate the phone call, appreciate the thoughts, and congratulations on the new baby.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You are listening to On the Line on 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager here with Bradley George, and we are welcoming your calls. What are your thoughts about the election, particularly with regard to the gubernatorial race? Who are you choosing to vote for? Why are you voting for Ron Sparks or Robert Bentley, or maybe you're among the crowds that feels a write-in candidate is the necessary route to go? The number to call to join the conversation is 1-800-444-9222. That's 800-444-9246, or send an email to news@wbhm.org. If you're on Twitter, you can send us a message by using the hashtag ALVote. Bradley, one of the things that has been at play in this gubernatorial election is Ron Sparks' platform. That is, he advocates an education lottery, as he calls it, starting a lottery to fund scholarships for students going to college here in Alabama. It's something we've seen in Georgia, and he's very much, you know, looking to Georgia as an example. But do we have any indication what that may look like in Alabama?
Well, Ron Sparks has talked a lot about the Georgia lottery, and there's a certain percentage of Georgia lottery funds that go to fund college scholarships in that state. He's also talked about job growth and tax revenue that would be related to that. And that comes from an economist with the St. Louis Federal Reserve, who says that a lottery, if there was a lottery in Alabama, that would create about $250 million in revenue. This economist, Tom Garrett, says that it depends on the status of economy, other competitive forces. It also depends on how the games and how many games you have, how many retailers sell the games. Of course, when you set up a lottery, you sort of have to do it in phases. You don't have this big kitty of money that you can start paying out prizes on. You have to, that has to build up over time, and you have to roll out the games over a certain number of months and years. So it takes a lot of money just to kind of get that off the ground, and it depends on people, buying enough tickets for there to be enough of prize money there in order for the lottery to pay out some of these prizes.
And also involved in that report is the fact that most of the money in lotteries go toward paying out the winners. Not all of it necessarily finds its way into state coffers.
Yeah, education funding, if Alabama were to get a lottery, it'd probably be somewhere between $80 million, $130 million. The education budget for the 2010-2011 school year is $5.5 billion. So there you go.
I just got a comment from Twitter. And before we get to that, I want to remind you, we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-444-9246. That's 800-444-9246. Or send us an email at news@wbhm.org. Bradley, we'll send you back to Bama Fact Check to take a look at our latest question from Twitter. The question is, did Robert Bentley change his name? And this certainly has been an issue in the campaign. Ron Sparks brought it up, and it actually goes back to the primaries a little bit because, Ron Sparks did do a little bit around his name, particularly with his title.
Okay, so there was this radio ad from Ron Sparks who said that Robert Bentley changed his legal name to Doctor. so that his name would show up on the ballot as Dr. Robert Bentley. According to BamaFactCheck.com, Bentley did change his name twice this year, but not for the reasons that Sparks implies. Before the governor's race began, Bentley was known in the Tuscaloosa area as a state legislator. He's also been a dermatologist for a number of years. Everybody in Tuscaloosa and Tuscaloosa County knows him as Dr. Bentley. So Bentley's campaign planned to build the doctor title into its marketing, according to Bentley's campaign manager. GOP leaders were initially fine with Bentley appearing on the primary ballot with his medical title listed as part of his name. According to Bentley's campaign manager, she says party leadership later changed their minds and told Bentley he could only use his legal name. Party leaders refused to yield to Dr. Bentley because he'd already went to the probate office and changed his name to Dr. Bentley. April 5th of this year, Robert Bentley went back to the probate office and again changed his name back to Robert Julian Bentley and took the doctor out of it.
So, yes, he did change his name. He changed it once. He changed it back again, but only for a short period of time. And so it's not exactly
and again, party leaders told you you couldn't use the title on the ballot. So
exactly. Yeah. So that's again, that fact checking comes from a Bama factcheck.com.
Which is a great website, by the way, and it's put together by a number of news organizations, the Anniston Star, the Birmingham News, other papers. Again, BamaFactCheck.com. It's a great place to go if you want to check out some of the claims that are being made by candidates in the campaign.
Joining the conversation, 1-800-444-9246, or go online, or send us an email at news@wbhm.org. Again, that's 800-444-9246, or go to news@wbhm.org. Send us an email that way. Or there's Twitter. You know, send us a message using the hashtag ALVote. And we'll move on in just a moment. We had another question come in from Twitter. And this is says, can Sparks use a lottery to provide a scholarship to every high school graduate? And I as far as from interviewing Ron Sparks on a couple of occasions, as far as I know, since Alabama doesn't have a lottery established, it would go through the legislature. It would be established the way any other policy would be established here in Alabama. Does that seem to make sense to you, Bradley?
Yeah, it seems to make sense. And I imagine, I don't know if that would go to a vote the way that it did in 1999. Also, I don't know if that would require a constitutional amendment as well.
I believe it would, because I remember asking Ron Sparks on one occasion if he thought that it would fare any differently than it did 11 years ago, and he believed that times had changed enough and the revenue picture was different that it would fare differently if it were presented before voters. Of course, Ron Sparks is being presented before voters before then, and you know that would be the first step for lottery advocates. Moving on a bit, we can still continue to talk about the gubernatorial race, but we want to point out something else that's at play here this election. Control of the Alabama legislature is up for grabs. Republicans are trying to wrestle away control of the legislature from Democrats for the first time since the 1870s. They're down 5 seats in the Senate and 15 in the House. And while many legislators will be reelected with little trouble, some districts do offer tight races. And often with tight races, you get some nasty attacks.
Take the contest in House District 14. This covers parts of Tuscaloosa, Walker, Winston counties. The incumbent here is Democrat Ken Guin. He's the majority leader in the House. He's facing a tough fight, though, from Republican Richard Baughn. The Republican Party ran a radio ad painting Guin as a career politician who's been at the public trough. Guin's campaign fired back against a political newcomer with an ad featuring Richard Baughn's wife. And what was the claims there, Andrew?
Basically, he claimed that you saw a picture of Bond's wife, and she stated that the night that she came home and told her husband that she had lupus, he handed her the keys and told her to leave, accusing him of being not compassionate, uncaring, and very strong character attacks, some might say. Well, the Democrats and Republicans are certainly fighting over control of the Alabama legislature, but they're also fighting over control of Congress, and Alabama could help determine that. Alabama's second district in the southeastern corner of the state pits Democratic incumbent Bobby Bright against Republican Martha Roby. But when you listen to their ads, they sound very much alike. They both talk about opposing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. And also sound alike when they're on the campaign trail. For instance, Bobby Bright voted against the health care reform bill and the stimulus bill, breaking with many fellow Democrats. Martha Roby is running on a platform of reduced government spending and touts her own health care plan. Now, the biggest difference between the two of them may be their party affiliation. So tell us, what do you think about who controls Capitol Hill or the Alabama legislature? Would the issues you care about fare better if control switched parties? You know, does that factor into your decision-making as you head to the polls? Tell us what you think. The number is 800-444-9246. That's 800-444-9246. Or you can go to news@wbhm.org. Send an email to that address, news@wbhm.org. Or you can use Twitter. Use the hashtag ALVote. Bradley, we actually had a question come in related to that second congressional district race.
Right. This is someone wanting to know if Martha Roby said that she would or she wants to eliminate the U.S. Department of Education. According to BamaFactCheck.com, this comes from an ad from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. This is a national organization that supports congressional candidates throughout the U.S., and they're doing the same thing for Barbie Bright, running ads on his behalf. And the ad says that Martha Roby wants to abolish the U.S. Department of Education, and that would lead to an increase in Alabama property taxes. According to BamaFactCheck.com, Roby did say during a campaign appearance that she would like to see the U.S. Department of Education eliminated. Losing federal funding to state and local education would cost Alabama billions of dollars, according to BamaFactCheck. However, Roby proposes eliminating the department, yet maintaining the funding in a different form.
So that hopefully can clarify that position from Martha Roby, a very competitive district down in the southeastern part of the state. Many observers across the country are looking at that race, certainly as a bellwether, as they look to see who will control Congress after next Tuesday. And Bradley, how have things looked down there in that second congressional district?
If I can get to the page quick enough on my notes here. It's been a close race. We can tell that for sure. Bobby Bright unseated a incumbent in 2008. Also doing sort of the same thing, sort of running against the party, painting himself as maybe more of a moderate or more of a conservative. The latest polling, this is actually a prediction from pundits. The publication Congressional Quarterly rates the race as a toss-up. The latest polling has Bright slightly ahead, 49% to Roby's 41%. But still, that's still fairly close. Bobby Bright is under 50%. Anything could happen.
It is a toss-up. It is a toss-up. And nationally, if I'm remembering correctly, it's around 40 seats that Republicans need to capture to regain control of the House on Capitol Hill. It's we're talking about a differential here in Alabama of they're down 5 seats in the Senate, 15 in the House. So control there, it's possible it could switch after next Tuesday's election. What do you think about the election coming up? The gubernatorial race, the control of the Alabama legislature, control of Capitol Hill. What are your thoughts? What are the issues, the candidates that have you talking? Give us a phone call, 1-800-444-9246, or go online your email and send us an email at news@wbhm.org. Again, that's 800-444-9246 or news@wbhm.org. Another thing to fact check, Bradley.
Yeah, this is another question from the second district congressional race. Bobby Bright has made sort of an issue of Nancy Pelosi, and Nancy Pelosi has been nationally a lightning rod for Republicans. And Bright has said unequivocally that if he's reelected to Congress, he will not vote for Nancy Pelosi as Speaker. Well, the National Republican Republican Congressional Committee down in the 2nd District is running ads on Martha Roby's behalf, trying to help her get elected to Congress. And they're running an ad that says that Bright votes with Speaker Pelosi 71% of the 71% of the time. According to BamaFactCheck.com, that ad is technically correct, but it can be misleading. The NRCC cites a Washington Post vote database to back up its claim that Bobby Bright sides with Pelosi 7 out of 10 times. That database does show that Bright has voted with his party about 71% of the time. But according to Bama Fact Check, Bright is far from Pelosi's puppet. That's their word. Same database also shows that Bright is the second most independent member of Congress. Democrat or Republican, Bright is only behind a representative from Idaho who only votes with the Democratic Party about 70% of the time.
So there's some clarification on that accusation. Joining the conversation, 1-800-444 9246 or send an email to news@wbhm.org. 800-444-9246 or go to news@wbhm.org. Another caller. I'd like to welcome Quan Sin calling from Tuscaloosa. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's your comment or question?
Well, as I ponder as to how I'm going to vote on Tuesday, a couple of things. Number one, I'm more familiar with the national scene and more have been studying and listening and reading more on that front than I have been in the state level and the local level. But I think that as I ponder to which way I would vote, there's one major issue hanging over my head, and that is, am I going to vote for the people who got us into this big mess, or am I going to vote for the people who don't seem to be able to get me out of this, assuming, you know, I mean, they are getting us out, but just very, very slowly. So that is my single issue that I'm trying to ponder and try to, you know, guide me in my decision. But I'm undecided as of today, locally.
It sounds to me like the economy is your number one issue.
Well, you know, among many other things, because they're so complex, you know, and you can't look at the economy as a short-term thing, nor can you look at the economy as a very easy fix, because they're all encompassing so many different fronts. And I don't presume to understand all of it. However, you know, I do. I have a longer memory than most people in Tuscaloosa, in Alabama. And that is, I think, you know, people who I talk to, of course, I haven't talked to everybody in Alabama, but I seem to have a longer memory as to what this mess is caused and by how many years of working on it caused this whole mess. So, you know, people are not, the Democratic leadership doesn't seem to be able to pull us out of it very quickly. But I guess, you know, I have to really decide, you know, do I really want to go back to what it was or just giving it more time?
All right. Well, we appreciate your call, and thanks for those thoughts.
Well, thank you for having me on the air. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 800-444-9246. That's 800-444-9246, or there's news@wbhm.org. That's the email address to send your comments or questions. 800-444-9246, or news@wbhm.org. We're talking right now about the legislative and congressional picture. You know, how are you making your decision about who to support for Congress or for the Alabama legislature? Does it matter to you who controls the chambers, as control between Democrats and Republicans is up for grabs? You know, why does that matter? Why doesn't it matter? That is the discussion here on the line, Election 2010. I'm Andrew Yeager here with Bradley George. And again, we're welcoming your calls, 800-444-9246. Bradley, we've been doing some fact-checking about some of the claims this election season, and we've got something else to take note of.
Yeah, we haven't talked a lot about judicial races, and those are always contentious. They're very expensive in Alabama, and we've got an interesting race for the Supreme Court. Mac Parsons is a Democratic candidate for the Supreme Court, and he's running against Republican Tom Parker. And Parsons is making the claim that Tom Parker is the least productive justice on the Supreme Court. The claim that Parsons is making is that, or Parsons is making against Parker, is that Parker issued less than 5% of the decisions on that total 9-member court last year. That's the fewest of any justice. According to BamaFactCheck.com, Parsons' claim checks out. The Supreme Court's decisions are categorized as either certiorari petitions, essentially a review of a lower court's decision, or original decisions. According to the Supreme Court's annual statistics for the fiscal year that ended last September, of the 1,000 or so decisions that were released by the Supreme Court last year, 53 of those were released by Parker. That's about 4.9% of the decisions that were released by the Supreme Court. It's also the lowest number of any Supreme Court justice.
Okay, so some numbers to back up that claim. And you can join in the conversation, 800-444-9246, or send an email to news@wbhm.org. Again, 800-444-9246, or news@wbhm.org. If you're on Twitter, send us a tweet with the hashtag ALVote. I'd like to welcome Kay calling from Cook Springs. Kay, thanks for calling.
Thanks. You're welcome. I just wanted to sort of agree with the lady from Tuscaloosa that, you know, people forget how long it took the Republicans to get us into this mess. But frankly speaking, as far as the Alabama races are concerned, I'd love to have a button that I could push that says none of the idiots listed above. Thanks. Bye.
So is that because you think that the people who are in office, you know, aren't able to adequately address the situation, or is there someone else that you'd like to see running that isn't running? Oh, well, I guess I will have to. We won't be able to get Kay's thoughts on that. Well, but again, another. It's not the first time you've heard that sentiment of being able to vote for none of the above.
In some states, you have that. I think in Nevada, you have the ability to vote for none of the above.
Nebraska is a state where you can vote for none of the above, and kind of goes back to the what we were talking about earlier about discontent with the gubernatorial candidates.
And we've heard this kind of anecdotally. I mean, we haven't. I don't know if there's necessarily any polling on this, but I think you and I, between the politicians and the journalists that we've spoken to, especially when it comes to this governor's race, there just isn't a lot of excitement there. And you would think with a high-profile race like this, you think people would be energized. And we really haven't seen that to an extent.
What do you think about the race, about the races for governor, for the legislature, for Congress, anything else, the issues? What's on your mind? 800-444-9246, or send an email to news@wbhm.org. 800-444-9246, or news@wbhm.org. Bill's calling us from right here in Birmingham. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for taking my call.
Go right ahead.
Well, I just wanted to weigh in. It seems that from everyone I've spoken with, a lot of people were expecting us to elect a Democrat and the Democrats to dig us out of a hole that took us 8 years to dig. And for people to say, well, nothing's happening, I don't believe that's true. I mean, it's taken a little bit longer than possibly expected, but as I said, it took us 8 years to dig this hole. It's not going to take us overnight to dig out of it.
And so when you say that you feel that people are not voting for Democrats, did I hear that correctly? You feel people think that we're not voting for Democrats or shouldn't vote for Democrats?
It shouldn't. That's exactly what I'm saying. No, I'm saying that we should keep on the path that we're going on right now.
I see. I see.
Yeah, I'm voting Democrat this election.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, just simply because, you know, it may not be the fastest route, but in my view, it's better than putting a Republican back in office.
Well, let me ask you this question, just as someone who's voting Democrat. We do have a national Senate race here in Alabama. Richard Shelby, a Republican, is up for re-election and is facing William Barnes, who is a little-known Democratic candidate for that office. He's an attorney, but polls have him far behind Richard Shelby. When you look at a race like that and you say you're supporting Democrats, what do you think when you see that lopsided race like that?
I get frustrated.
I was going to say, I hear a little bit of frustration there.
I really am.
All right. Well, fair enough. Bill, I appreciate the call, and thanks for listening.
All right. Thank you.
You are listening to On the Line on 90.3 WBHM Birmingham and 91.5 WSGN Gadsden. This is Election 2010. I'm Andrew Yeager here with Bradley George, and we are taking your calls, 800-444-9246, or you can send an email to news@wbhm.org. If you're on Twitter, you can use the hashtag ALVote. We are starting to get calls in. That's great. We want to go to Durrell in Garden City. Go right ahead.
Hi. Hey, thanks for having me. I think one of the problems with the economy and therefore the election is that most voters really don't understand how we got into this mess. And it's my opinion that the Democrats have forced banks through the banking laws to give loans, home loans, to people who otherwise would not qualify for a loan. And this forced the guys on Wall Street to mix these poor loans with better loans and sell them off to the corporations which buy these loans and collect the mortgages over years. And once the people started defaulting on their loans, then the whole system kind of broke down. I think that putting Republicans back into Congress will change the banking laws to ensure that banks do not give loans, and I mean give loans to people who are unqualified. And hopefully that will encourage the voters and the citizens of the United States to conduct their own personal lives in a more fiscally sound manner so that they will become qualified for home loans. And so I'm just encouraging everyone to look into it for yourself, educate yourself, and hopefully vote for your representative or senator who will help change the laws to encourage people to become more fiscally responsible.
Well, let me ask you this. You said you'd like to see Republicans back in control of Congress. Do you feel Republicans should control the Alabama legislature as well?
Sure. I'm a fiscal conservative, and I feel that, in general, Republicans are more fiscally conservative than Democrats, although for the most part, in the last 20 or so years, you know, you've seen exorbitant spending on both sides. It's difficult for the states because they have a much more difficult time in adjusting their taxes and raising taxes if they need to in order to cover their expenses. And, the federal government does it much more easily. I think that Alabama, you pretty much have to have a statewide election in order to raise taxes or really to adjust that to meet the demand.
Okay. Well, we appreciate your thoughts, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We have been talking about this off and on. One of the undercurrents to the election, particularly here in the Alabama governor's race, is the lack of excitement among voters. Birmingham News columnist John Archibald said that some of that may be because, as we've been talking about, the favorites in the primary did not make it to the general election. He wrote that it's as if we ordered meatloaf and then got mad when they didn't bring a steak. John Archibald also points out that Robert Bentley has tried to run a low-key campaign and that Ron Sparks doesn't have a lot of money to spend. And he also says that the Alabama Education Association, which has largely sat out the governor's race this fall, normally it's a big political spender.
And John Archibald's also said, there's a lot of voter discontent, not necessarily a candidate or issue in Alabama who represents that. So what's a voter going to do? Well, according to UAB communications professor and political pollster Larry Powell, he believes that voters in this election are more disgusted than they are angry.
So what do you think? Are you excited about the election? If you're not, why not? What issues have grabbed your attention? What's not being talked about that you would like to hear? What are your thoughts? We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-444-9246. Or send us an email to news@wbhm.org. We're hearing now from John in Birmingham. John, thanks for your call. Hello, John. John. I guess 1, 2, 3. I think John may have left us there. Be sure.
Call us back, John, if you want to.
Yes, we'd love to hear your thoughts. As we're talking about, the mood, the issues that are. On your mind. How excited are you about Tuesday's election? What does have you excited about going to the polls next week? What races have you geared up or what races have you disappointed, perhaps? Are you in that category of none of the above or want to have a write-in candidate? Let us know your thoughts. The number is 800-444-9246, or you can send an email to news@wbhm.org. We'll hear from Allison now. Allison's calling from Vestavia Hills.
Hey, y'all, great show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've I've got a question. I'm really excited about Tuesday because I live in Vestavia Hills, Hoover area, and we have an independent candidate who is not taking any PAC money and who's got a fantastic plan to redevelop Highway 31. And it's so rare to see somebody that isn't taking that that kind of money from all those groups that actually has a chance, especially in a state like Alabama. And I know all my neighbors, all my friends are talking about it, seeing the Easter Bunny on Highway 31 in Santa Claus. It's just been a fantastically positive, great race, and I just wondered what y'all thought about an independent, and it's just so different and new.
That's the race there between Chip McCollum and Jack Williams there, just House District 47, right?
That's correct. I just think it's we always talk about how we want to see change and we want to see things different, and it's, I know it seems to some people like David and Goliath, but I just think it's just incredible and wonderful.
Let me ask you this, Allison. You mentioned the influence of PAC money and that there is a lot of PAC money in the Alabama political process, and it seems to be a perennial issue whenever, you know, PAC-to-PAC contributions or PAC-to-PAC transfers, I should say, comes up. In your view, is all PAC money equal? That is, if, you know, money from, say, a gambling PAC, is that the same as money from the AEA or from business interests? Is it all the same? Is it, you know, how do you see that?
I mean, there was a time I grew up in a family where my father was an executive with a large utility company, and he tried to explain PACs to me a long time ago. And there was a time when I thought you have good PACs and you have bad PACs. But now that I see that it's so hard to see who contributed to a candidate, when you can't just see who the individual is, it seems to me if you're expressing your First Amendment rights, then why does everybody have to hide behind it? Why can't you just say, my name is John Smith, and I'm writing a check, and I'm supporting a candidate? And when it's all hidden, it seems to get very slippery slope. And I love seeing somebody who's just saying, look, if you want to write me a check, write me a check. And Chip's got my vote for that reason. It's wonderfully refreshing to see people that are writing checks for a candidate and saying, I support him, and I don't care if you see my name.
All right,
that's
Allison.
Wonderful.
We appreciate your call, and we'll all be watching that District 47 race next Tuesday.
Okay, thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are listening to On the Line on 90.3 WBHM Birmingham and 91.5 WSGN Gadsden. We're welcoming your calls, your thoughts about the election next week, gubernatorial races, their legislative races. What's your mood? What are you excited about going to the polls next Tuesday? What races maybe have you disappointed? Let us know. 800-444-9246.
Of course, turnout is key in any election. Voter registration, we saw a huge surge in voter registration in 2008. According to the Alabama Secretary of State's office, statewide, the number of active registered voters has only increased by about 1% since August. So that could be interesting to watch. But I also just saw something on Twitter where Secretary of State Beth Chapman, she says that she's predicting a 45% to 50% voter turnout on Tuesday, which is seems a bit high for a midterm election.
High for a midterm election, but significantly less than what we saw 2 years ago in the presidential election there. Vinob is joining us from Adamsville. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I would like to hear something concerning the proposed constitutional amendments. I haven't been able to find much information on it, and usually these amendments could be important.
Sure. Yeah, there always are constitutional amendments, and we appreciate that thought. The big amendment this election cycle is Amendment 3. That is the one that has to do with roads and building roads. And I'm not sure, Bradley, if you have information about Amendment 3 handy.
Well, I do know that it's controversial. It takes about $1 billion out of essentially what's the state's savings account, the Alabama Trust Fund, over a period of 10 years, and uses it for various road and bridge projects. Now, there are a number of political leaders in Alabama who have come out against this. Governor Bob Riley says he's against it. Dr. David Bronner, who's the CEO of Retirement Systems of Alabama, says he's against it. I'm looking at a Birmingham News editorial here. They're recommending voting no on all of the proposed amendments on Tuesday. So that's That's kind of the consensus on Amendment 3, at least in terms of the political establishment in Alabama.
And we should say, too, that the sponsor of that, that measure, Senator Lowell Barron, he is promoting it as an economic stimulus, as well as a way to fix Alabama's roads and bridges. We've seen infrastructure has been an issue off and on, particularly the last several years since that bridge collapsed in Minnesota. The I-35 bridge, and there's been a lot of concerns about the status of our infrastructure. So backers of Amendment 3 say this is money well spent. It will help put people to work, it'll create jobs, and we'll get better roads and bridges out of it. So that's a brief summary of the two sides of Amendment 3 that you'll see on the ballot here next Tuesday. Victoria is calling from Helena. Victoria, thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I've already voted because I'm going to be unavailable on Election Day, but what I found very interesting about the ballot is if this is such a critical election across the country for Democrats and Republicans, and I'm not for either or against either party, what I did notice was interesting on the ballot is that how there were so many unopposed Republicans. So that begs the question, what happened during the primary? If this was so important, how come there are a lot of Republicans that are going to be unopposed?
Can you think of a specific example?
I can't think of any names, but there were about 20 people that you're voting for on the ballot, and there were, you know, they were just one or two, just one person, and I was noticing they were Republicans. I mean, not that I'm against somebody being unopposed, but what happened in the process if the Democratic Party, you know, was, you know, being proactive?
Yeah.
What happened? Where were their people?
Yeah, I think I can speak to that a little bit. We can look at the Congressional District 6 here in Alabama. That's Spencer Backus and has some of those suburban communities around Birmingham. He is running without opposition. And generally, the calculus there from both sides when they choose not to run a candidate is they feel that the candidate or the incumbent is so strong that it's not worth putting up a fight. It's not worth spending all that money for what may be a long shot chance to unseat it. How does that argument sit with you, Victoria?
That sounds very defeatist. I mean, that would smack against anything I would ever believe. It's like, oh, don't bother. That's like, you know, if Nick Saban ever said that about Alabama football, oh, don't bother showing up on game day because, you know, we lost to this team again, he'd be beheaded. you know, nobody would ever think like that in some other parts of the world. But we do that in the political arena. It just sounds crazy. And two, the other point that came to my mind, was some of the I got some automated phone calls from the Ron Sparks camp that were very, very offensive, and they were done by a state senator, and offensive to me with a state senator using some expletives and, you know, the disgust or the anger of, you know, how he's mad as H and he's not going to take it anymore. And, of course, then the segue leading into why this is so important that we vote for Ron Sparks. And I have never in all of my adult life ever been bombarded with that kind of political robocall or even personal call like that. I mean, what is this, the new era that we are in now, that this kind of stuff can happen?
We will see. I think that's an open-ended question. Victoria, thanks for your call. Thanks for your comments.
Okay, thanks.
And those robocalls that Victoria was mentioning was from State Senator
Hank Sanders from Selma, correct?
And did receive accusations of race baiting from the Republican Party.
And I was just going back to Victoria's point about folks running unopposed. According to the Birmingham News, three of Alabama's congressional delegation, only two are only running unopposed. Spencer Backus, as you mentioned, also Joe Bonner down in the Mobile area. Robert Adderholt from Haleyville. Not Robert Adderholt. Mike Rogers from Sachs. His only opponent this fall, he has a Democratic opponent who has not reported any campaign fundraising. Then Robert Adderholt, his only opponent is a Constitution Party candidate.
That's interesting indeed. Well, we'll try to get a few more calls in. Holly is calling from Hoover. Holly, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate your willingness to talk about The important race is next week. It is definitely a turning point in our country's history, and specifically here in Alabama.
And why do you feel it's so important? Why do you feel, what's the turning point?
Well, I think I own a small business, and I come from a family of entrepreneurs. Dad into small business. My mom and my brother do too. And I just really have seen that small businesses are hurting, specifically in Birmingham. I grew up in the Hoover-Vestavia area, and I will tell you, when I drive down the main drag on Highway 31, it is very saddening to see all the empty buildings and all the for sale and for rent signs. And I think it's important that we elect candidates who have a clear understanding of what small business needs are and has a solution for solving those problems. And I know that Allison called in earlier today, but I recently, you know, you get all this campaign material in your mailbox and you look through it on your kitchen counter and you're like, this is just the same old thing. Someone's calling themselves a conservative, or someone is pointing out this specific thing about their family. But really, what are they going to do to keep businesses strong here? And there was one piece that I got in the mail last week that really stood out to me, and it was called 47 for 31. And it was created, and it doesn't look like a campaign piece. It actually is a plan that talks about development on the Highway 31 corridor, and it blew my mind because in simple steps, just like a small business would write a business plan, it walks you through what can be done in our district here in the Hoover-Vestavia area in Birmingham to improve it and to bring economic growth. And it was created by Chip McCallum, and I know Allison had called in a little earlier, had talked about him. And I just, you know, as a small business leader too, I think he understands the problems in our district and how to solve them. And that really has stood out to me, and someone I'm definitely going to throw my support behind again, because he's taken the time to talk to small businesses and figure out what the problems
are. We appreciate the comments, and we're trying to get a few more in, so we'll move on. Thanks for your call.
Thanks.
And Bradley, we've had another comment added into the conversation.
Yeah, sort of going along with voter discontent. Catherine from Birmingham says, it seems to me like Alabama elections always provide a lack of choice. Both Democrats and Republicans seem to always campaign on pro-gun, anti-choice, anti-gay marriage, pro-family values. While there are some differences among candidates, to me it seems more like the differences you would find in a primary race. I feel like these choices leave people like me choosing the person we least disagree with rather than who we believe in.
All right. And we go to Jack in Birmingham. And Jack, we just got just a moment, but go right ahead.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. I really enjoy NPR. I was just going to ask you gentlemen to maybe comment on the levels of corruption that we're currently seeing, especially in Alabama state government. And I was just wondering if either of you really thought that this election was going to change much in that regard.
Well, I guess, let me turn the question back to you a little bit. Do you feel that we're more corrupt than maybe we've been in the past? Because there are those that say we're rooting out corruption. We're making progress. Does it seem like we're making progress?
You know, I have lived in Alabama for 6 or 7 years now, and it seems that around every corner there's something else. There's something else that's going wrong. So I don't feel personally like the state is making any progress right now. And I'm looking forward to these midterms, hoping that, that's one of the main problems that the state has. But I'm hoping that that's one of the main issues that gets cut out.
Well, Jack, we appreciate the thought. We appreciate your call. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for the excellent show, guys.
And corruption, ethics, gambling—it's all on the ballot in one way or another. And we'll see what happens next week.
When I talked to Bob Riley, Governor Bob Riley, earlier this week, he said, you know, he felt like these indictments of legislators, that this might be the turning point. This might be the thing that sort of shakes the legislature up enough to finally get tough on corruption and pass some tougher ethics legislation. So. Guess we'll see.
We will see, and we'll see especially what things look like after next Tuesday. That does bring this afternoon's discussion to a close. I would like to thank WBHM's Bradley George for helping us out this afternoon with the discussion. Thanks
Always
a lot.
Glad to help.
Well, today's program was produced by Tanya Ott with help from Michael Crowell. Thank you for listening. Stay with us for a Talk of the Nation Science Friday. That is coming up next. I'm Andrew Yeager. Have a great afternoon and a great weekend.